And praise the Lord. We can tell it's Sunday because it's snowing. And I don't know how many Sundays this year, and including the end of last year, that we've not been able to run the buses. And it's been probably the most since I've been here. How many Sundays as far as shepherds?
About five.
Five. This is the fifth, or is this the sixth? Yeah, not Ed Shepherd, so that's quite the exciting winter that we have had thus far. So anyway, praise the Lord, though, you're here. I'm glad you could make it, and praise the Lord that we are dry in here. And maybe if we can get Dale when he goes back in the back, or maybe Matt could go ahead and shut that door. The more bodies, it will warm up in here to the point where you'll probably get too hot. But anyway, trying to figure all that out is always exciting in a new location. So if you need lesson number 30, we also have lesson number 31. Go ahead and raise your hand. We do welcome Brother Tim Cook's class into our class today. And no, we don't have coffee. We should have made some coffee. I just didn't even think about it. Tim got stranded in Flint with a flat tire. And actually, God just really protected them. They were on the interstate, had a flat, had a blowout, and spun around. There was no cars, and just really amazing how they got out of that. He went to put the little donut spare on the car, and it went flat. So he got stranded. There was nothing open. Did spend the night in a unique part of Flint. I told him, I said, because I pastored there, and I said, okay, on the side of the interstate you're on, you're fine. Don't drive on the other side because it can be a pretty dangerous area. But anyway, he was real excited about that. They were going to lock their doors in the motel. But pray for them that they get back this afternoon. That is the goal, hoping someplace will be open this morning to be able to change his tire and get him a new tire. So that is why Tim is not here. And then, of course, folks are snowed in all around, and I'm sure some are trying to get here, but it is exciting. So we move on. Lesson number 30, the assisting beast out of the earth. We're talking in the book of Revelation. We are on section 5, believe it or not, of our study in Revelation, and covering Revelation chapters 12 and 13. We possibly will finish that today, and that's why I have lesson number 31 prepared, which covers a whole new section, a whole new title there. So that is all available to you. So if you'd like to have lesson 31, we'll certainly get that to you, but we should finish off lesson 30. Our memory verse for lesson 30, again, is Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. So let's go ahead and say that together. At this time, we'll say the reference, the verses, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 13, 16 and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And let's do it again. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And again, Father, we thank you that we can gather today for this class time. We do pray for your power in all of our classes, that, Lord, that decisions be made, that in people's lives it'd be the best day ever for them. And we know that your word has that kind of power, that it can literally change our lives. And so please speak to our hearts in this class as well as the others. Be with the cooks. Give them safety as they try to get back and get that tire fixed. I just pray you'll work all that out for them. And other folks that are trying to get in with the streets, the roads being bad, please give safety to our people. And just bless now this day as we look at your word. Guide us into the truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have covered Roman numeral 1 and talked about his appearance. Again, for those from Tim's class, we do apologize. We have no casseroles. We don't have any omelets. We don't have bacon and eggs. No donuts, no coffee, and we should have had coffee. Too many things been going on. So anyway, I do apologize for not having coffee for you, but we are covering Revelation chapters 12 and 13. We're at the end of chapter 13, talking about the false prophet. Now we're talking about these seven key characters, and the woman was the first one, that is Israel. The dragon was the second one, that is Satan. The child is the third one, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth one is Michael, the archangel. The fifth one is called the remnant. Those are the saved Jews. The sixth one was the Antichrist, the beast of the sea. And now we're on the seventh character out of Revelation chapters 12 and 13. That's the false prophet, a religious leader who will cause people to, he will point all their affection, all their worship toward the Antichrist. But do not misunderstand, these are men, these are people. Again, the way John sees it, a beast of the earth, the assisting beast out of the earth, as he saw the Antichrist, a beast out of the sea, these are people that are, the Antichrist is a man who will have strong military and political power. And again, as far as a timeline in our thinking, these characters are not brought in order as to time, but in our minds, we are, as we deal with a false prophet and the Antichrist, we're talking about the negativity of them anyway is about the middle of the tribulation. Keep in mind, in the beginning of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, they're going to be promoting peace and preaching peace, and they're going to get all their support, get people to follow them. They will be, you know, with deception and that, and all of that. So about the middle of the tribulation is when their true colors are seen, and the evil is very, very obvious with the false prophet and with the Antichrist. And so those who are here from Brother Tim's class, you've gotten here at the just exactly the right time when you're, you know, everybody's interested in, oh, 666 and the mark of the beast and all of that. So that is kind of what we're talking about. Now, we've looked at Roman numeral 1, and that was, of course, his appearance, talking about the false prophet. Roman numeral 2, his activity, the different things he does. And remember, we compare him. Satan, he's a mocker. He's a mimicker, and he obviously mimics the Lord in so many ways. And one of the ways that he mimics the Lord and copies the Lord, if you will, obviously in a negative way. But just as God is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, well, the Satan has his Trinity too, an evil Trinity, and as the Father is represented, Satan takes that role. The Son, Jesus, of course, is the Son, and then the Antichrist takes that role. Well, and then the Holy Spirit, of course, the false prophet, then mimics that role and does many of the things. And we talked about that really most of last Sunday's lesson was talking about the false prophet and the different things that he does that mimic what the Holy Spirit does, and in a sense, the opposite of that. Just as the Holy Spirit marks us with a seal, he is the seal, he is the earnest. Well, the false prophet will mark those who belong to Satan with the mark of the beast, the 666. And so all of that has been talked about. And I believe, ended at verse 13, talking about the wonders. He doeth great wonders. So this false prophet will do miraculous things. And I think Last week, we especially talked about all these miracles, you know, all the wondrous things. And Satan can do a lot of wondrous things. God has allowed him to do lots of wondrous things. I mentioned last week as a young preacher how that I was drawn into a situation like that with a demon-possessed girl that another church and our church was dealing with, and how foolish we felt afterwards because we were asking this demon-possessed girl these different things. It was totally ridiculous. But you become intrigued. You become impressed with supernatural things. Folks, understand something. The supernatural and the miracles and all those things, none of those things can ever replace the Word of God. And you have to be so careful, even today, because we can become impressed with that. And that's exactly what happened. You know, remember this. You say, oh, you know, I saw a Ouija board and it told the truth. And I went to somebody, you know, told me they did a crystal ball thing and told me the truth. And I understand all of that. And it may very well be the truth. It may very well be accurate, but don't trust it. You cannot trust it over the Word of God. And we talked about all that last week. So part of his deceit, this false prophet, he will do all these miraculous things. And people will be impressed. And again, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, these kinds of things will be going on, getting support, getting followers. And again, he's going to channel everything toward the Antichrist and all that support so that the people eventually will worship the Antichrist. But part of that deceit, the Bible talks here, he'll do great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14, and deceiveth them. You know, this deceit is what he's after. He's trying to get everybody to follow the Antichrist, trying to get all this support for the Antichrist. This will be, again, you know, you have to try to imagine a day where people are looking for the answer. People are looking for the truth. People are looking for help. It's a terrible time. We've gone 3.5 years of the tribulation. We've seen plagues. We've seen death. We've seen all these things take place. And people are, hey, can somebody help us? Well, the false prophet, he's got the answer. And it's an answer of deceit. Part of the deceit is in verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And again, I remind you, any miracles he does is because God allows it to take place. And God has given, you know, Satan a lot of room to do his thing. But notice what it's saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Remember, we talked about that and said we'd come back to this. This wound by the sword would appear to be one of those wonders, one of those things that is part of the deceit, part of the trap, part of the trick of the false prophet and the Antichrist, again, to get them to worship the Antichrist and to follow him. So somehow, some way, and I know there's a lot of fiction out there, a lot of fiction books, different ways people have thought through, okay, how could this be? And you can use your own imagination. The Bible does not say. It just says there was a wound. And the wound, the Bible calls it a wound unto death, doesn't mean that he did die, but it would sure look like he died. And I believe that the appearance of death will certainly be there, and that will be one of the things of deceit. Because, again, Satan can't do anything. He just copies what God does. And so copying the resurrection, that would make sense. You know, after all these years of watching us rejoice over a resurrection, it would appear that man probably would be pretty impressed with the resurrection. And so it is my thinking, again, the Bible doesn't say exactly, but somehow it will be made to look like the Antichrist is actually killed and brought back to life. Again, if he really dies and is brought back to life. The only way that happens is God allows that to happen. Satan can't give life. But it, certainly we can understand with all the deceit that is going to be going on with the Antichrist that this could all be faked. It could be made to look like that is exactly what happened. And so the people are going to be very impressed with that. They are going to be very, very impressed with whatever takes place with the Antichrist and his apparent death and resurrection. It's going to be very impressive. Again, try to imagine. We think people today are so, you know, following things, it's just unbelievable. It, during that time, it's going to be worse than it's ever been. It's going to be worse than it's ever been. You know, the Bible says the simple believe every word. And most humans are very simple. And, you know, without the Word of God and without the knowledge of the Word of God, the wisdom of God, mankind, it's gonna follow this and believe this and swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, seriously, again, it's hard for us to, boy, how can these people follow the Antichrist? He's so evil. He didn't look evil. And nothing looks evil for 3.5 years. It all looks pretty good. And all these miracles are taking place. And so it says here that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound. Well, obviously the idea there in the word image is like a statue. And they're going to make this statue. And it's going to look like an image like this this Antichrist. And so in our minds, we would imagine this statue, perhaps it'll have cameras on it, fixed on it, and so every household will be looking at this image. And again, it takes us back to the Old Testament. It takes us back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, in Babylon, if you don't bow down to the image, you're going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. If you don't worship the image, you're going to suffer for it. And that is how it's going to be during the tribulation. This image will be huge. It'll be a huge image. And again, it will be something that will be pointing everybody toward the Antichrist and getting them to worship the Antichrist. I must remind you that the people, just like people today, you know, we're looking for Jesus Christ. Amen. I hear it all the time. This week, I've heard several people say, oh, I think the Lord's coming soon. We're looking for the Lord. But understand, there are people all over the world that are looking for a Savior of some type. There are other religions have their one, their leader, their Maitreya, their Messiah, whatever you want to call him. And during the tribulation, this is going to be very, very, very prevalent. Satan is setting people up for this day, for this tribulation time. And people will be set up because they are going to worship this Antichrist. And so they're being set up big time. They're looking for a Messiah. And notice what happens when they build this idol, this big image, this whatever you want to call this statue. Again, the Bible didn't say how big. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail other than it looks like the Antichrist. It is obviously built for worship. But notice what verse 15 says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, you know, years and years ago, people read that and they thought, I mean, this is amazing. Now again, I'm not trying to push it off as nothing. This is going to be an amazing thing. It's going to be an amazing, amazing thing, whatever it is. But in my mind, you know, the thing I think of is I think this is a huge robot type thing, which I'm not talking about the old Lost in Space robot. You know, I'm talking about. Things like that now are becoming more and more commonplace where they actually look very, very real. And so this statue, wherever it's located, it says he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And this thing is going to, and again, that could be just turning on a switch. Again, I don't know that's how it is. As we've said over and over in the study of Revelation, there's a lot of speculation that we have to do because the Bible just doesn't say. But somehow this thing comes alive, this image, and it speaks. It says, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This, whatever it is, this statue, literally, to the world, becomes alive. And so, again, here's another means of deception, another means that the false prophet uses to draw people toward worshiping the Antichrist. Now, you know, there are several things that I think of. Look at Psalm 135 and verse 15. Psalms 135 and verse 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. You know, over and over, God warns us about idols. Over and over, God warns us about idolatry, whether it's a rock that somebody may, you know, that's carved into some kind of an image, or whether it's in our wallet, the paper that's in there, or the lack thereof. You know, these are idols. God says we're not to worship them. Look, if you will, at Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And again, there are many, many verses we could look at. Habakkuk 2, verse 19, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Again, the warnings about idolatry, the warnings about, worshiping anything other than God Almighty. People are very idolatrous. And human beings are very prone to worshiping anything other than God. I don't remember where I saw it. Somewhere, a man married a tree. Isn't that beautiful? And I have no idea what all that means, other than because I don't read stuff like that that wastes too much of my time. But I just saw it. This man is kissing the tree, and he married the tree. And, wow. Again, what in the world? You know, people are looking, and they're searching, and unfortunately, they're looking in the wrong place. So whatever this image, whatever this statue, the appearance there is of life, and again, it is part of the deception. And if it is real life, then certainly it's only because God allows that to take place. Part of me even wonders if that were to take place, if the false prophet, if it did start to speak, that he would even be shocked. Because, you know, Satan knows that he's deceptive. He knows his deception. And the Antichrist and the false prophet, I mean, obviously they have been duped into following Satan ultimately and giving themselves to Satan, but eventually they also would have to recognize that they are being deceitful and the deception. So anyway, I come to verse 16, and I've broken it down, the rest of the passage, into 3 points: the mark, the method, and the meaning. And there's so much speculation about the mark. There's a lot of speculation. I'm going to have our ushers go ahead and come, and we'll collect an offering, and I'll just keep going for the next few minutes. I got a few minutes left. There's so much speculation about this mark. The Bible says in verse 16, and he causeth. Now, you know, we've always had the idea that the Antichrist is doing this, but in reality, it's a false prophet. This is going to be a religious thing. I've tried. Lou, take everybody's money. Don't forget the people on the other side. We need all the money we can get. Wow. People are about to run up the aisle chasing Lou. I'm thinking, man, we That the only thing stops a preacher from preaching is get that offering, amen? But, this mark is, it's an interesting thing because, like I say, we always have the impression that this is going to be a, again, remember, the Antichrist represents the military and the political power and all that's going to be going on that way. Well, the false prophet represents religion, and he's going to represent the religious community, and that is really where this mark is going to take place. I have said all along, and I've preached this for many, many years, no one will be deceived into taking the mark. There will be an official decision made, just like salvation is an official decision, okay? When you trust Christ, you can't be tricked into getting saved. There's no little trick. People say, well, you Baptists, you trick people. You can't trick somebody into salvation. It's not possible. It doesn't take place. And because a person has to make a choice, they have to decide that I'm a sinner and I deserve punishment for my sin, and I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart and save me. There's no trick. Now, somebody may pray some prayer and not necessarily mean it and all that, but that's not tricking them. Okay, it is an obvious choice that is made. And during the tribulation, this will be an obvious choice that'll be made. Okay? I've heard Christians even today, I've heard Christians say, well, if they say we have to put a mark on our hand to shop and if they're going to put our a computer chip and I'm not going to do it because I don't want to take it. It isn't going to be like that. It's not going to be some trick, okay? People will choose to worship the Antichrist. They will make a choice. The whatever the marking stations, if you will, whatever those consist of, whatever kind of a laser mark or a computer chip, whatever it may be, it is so obvious to me in Scripture, the people will make a choice. They will say something like, I want to worship the anti, they won't call him the anti, whatever his name is, I'm worshiping that. I am rejecting the God of heaven. It will be a religious ceremony. We have folks come forward and we lead them to Christ, or we lead them to Christ out soul winning. You have to understand the false prophet, he will have his other false workers, and they will be they'll be going out. We have soul winning, they have soul losing, I mean, seriously, Satan copies everything God does. And they will be they'll be more fervent than we are in trying to recruit people to worship the Antichrist. We have a track record. Well, see, I think that in their false prophet churches and religious whatever it's called in that day, they'll have their track record too. And it will all be promoting the Antichrist, promoting worshiping him, following him. It will be a religious thing that'll be going on. And so the mark, the mark is like a brand on livestock. Literally, that is kind of what the word means. It denotes ownership. All right, it is an ownership kind of thing. And again, before you say, who owns me, you're the one that's going to make that choice. You are the one. To be saved, to be marked, if you will, by the Holy Spirit of promise, we must be born again. Otherwise, we don't have that mark. Amen? And in the tribulation time, the decision will be, I reject God and I follow the Antichrist and I receive the mark. People aren't going to be tricked. People aren't, and we're not going to be tricked today. I saw my driver's license. It has a computer chip and my, that magnetic code thing on my charge card. Is that the anti? Folks, you're not going to be tricked. It's a choice. It is a choice. It will be a choice then. Again, I want to remind you, the false prophet, the Bible says, he causeth. He causeth, okay? Now, that doesn't mean he's lining people up with a gun saying, okay, worship Antichrist or die. He's causing by putting everything in motion. Again, it is a religious action with political and commercial ramifications, okay? It is going to be a religious action with political, obviously, and commercial, because the Bible says this mark has to do with buying and selling. And so, yes, you know, it is going to be a very, very obvious commercial thing, but it all starts in the church, the false church of that day. Have you noticed, you know, tattoos are so popular now. I mean, you see basketball players, sports people, I mean, they're tattooing their whole arm, and I often think, you know, do you understand what you're doing? But that's becoming more and more popular. During the tribulation, it's just whatever this mark is, it's not going to be a big deal. Some have said, you know, it'll be under the skin. I don't know. You know, the Bible doesn't say. I remember the old pictures, you know, back in the 70s of a 666 on the forehead. In reality, I've seen pictures of people with 666s because they think, oh, that's really cool, man. It won't be cool in that day. I got news for you. But it will be the only way you'll go to Walmart. Whatever that mark is, however it is implemented, whatever way, whatever, you know, whatever thing that takes place, it will be the only way you will buy or sell. We've gotten used to computer chips now. We've gotten used to them, you know, in our charge cards. I believe our driver's license now, is that true or not? I think it is. We have something in there. I don't know. And people say, aren't you concerned? No. It doesn't bother me. I'm not. It's part of the way things are going. But on the right hand, the forehead, all of it makes sense, and I've got to stop. But it makes so much sense because, you know, this is how you buy or sell. This is going to be, I think these computer chips, and I believe it'll be something like that, that will contain everything about you in whatever that mark is. It will contain all your banking, all your records, all everything you're buying and you're selling, and we're going to love all that stuff, honestly. As that all takes place, when I say we won't be there during the tribulation. I'm just saying as all that stuff starts to happen, we're going to like all this stuff. We really are. We're going to accept it. It's going to make it so much easier for us to shop. It's going to make it easier. I honestly see the day where we walk in the store, we get everything that we need in our cart, and we just walk out, and we've been scanned the whole way. Not scammed. Well, maybe scammed. But we've been scanned all the way through. And everything we bought is recorded. Everything we put in our cart, it's recorded. We walk out. We are recorded, and our banking account is the money comes out, and everything takes place, and we are going to just say, this is great. But again, that's speculation, because the rapture, the tribulation, it may not happen for another 1,000 years. I don't think that's going to be, but anyway, I'm so out of time.